Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
It's good to be back with you guys again today. As Abby said, if this is your first time with us or you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. My name is April Colquitt. I am our kids team leader here at Wellspring. I have the privilege of leading an amazing team of volunteers every week. They are so awesome. In fact, I just want to take a second, and I didn't plan to do this, but I just want to appreciate them for a minute because this is my third week being in here, which means this is my third week being away from them. And they have just completely rocked it out. They don't even need me, I think. And I must have done a great job leading them because they don't need me at all anymore. And so they are just my special people. They're my circle. And I've been telling them every week how much I miss being with my circle. But it has been an honor to be in here and to share this this spot while Pastor Trey has been away and taking some rest time. And we're glad that he's had an opportunity to do that. So I'm ready just to dive in to the last week that I have to be in here with you guys today. I want to start by asking you a question. If you've been here for the last few weeks, you've learned by now that I need you to interact with me a little bit. And so we're just going to interact and conversate for just a minute. How many people here would say that you wake up on the first time your alarm goes off? Anybody? Okay, you are the people who, once the alarm is off, you don't go back to sleep, right? Okay, I'm married to one of those people. But how many people here would say that you are a snoozer? Many more of you are snoozers. Wow, okay, I'm a snoozer too. I hit that snooze button, and I want 9 more minutes. I'm one of those people that actually sets my alarm extra early so that I have time to snooze at least once, usually twice. Today, it was almost 3. I'm not going to lie. I got to like 7 extra minutes, and I was like, no, I'm just going to get up. Because I need that 9 more minutes. I cannot just wake up the second the alarm clock goes off. I need 9 more minutes. And speaking of 9 more minutes, why is it 9 more minutes? Have you ever wondered why it's 9 more minutes and not 10? Can we just all agree it should really be 10 more minutes? As I was thinking about this week, I actually looked it up because you can look up anything on the internet. And I was like, why is it 9? There has to be a science behind it. And I looked it up. Go home and look it up. That's your homework this week. There is actually a reason, but I still think in this day and age in 2017, it could be 10 more minutes and we'd all be fine. Because we all want a little bit more time, don't we? As I was preparing for this series, Summer of More, I decided to pull my Wellspring Kids volunteers and send them a little survey to kind of get some feedback from them on their thoughts. And I sent it to all of my Wellspring Kids volunteers and a few other of my Wellspring friends. And I asked them this question. I wish I had more blank. I asked them to complete that phrase. I wish I had more blank. What do you think was the number one answer? Okay, I heard money and time. The answer was time. 71% of the people who responded said, I wish I had more time. 71%, that was the number one answer. I wish I had more time. And you have probably said at some point, I wish I had more time. There are not enough hours in the day. I just need a little more time, or I don't have time for that. We've all said that, and we have all felt that at some point, that feeling of needing more time. But here is the question that I have for you today. Why are we so desperate for more time? Do you really need more time? I know you're probably screaming in your head, yes, of course I need more time. But over the course of this series, what we have been studying and looking at is that God has actually made us for more. We are made for more. This whole series is based on a passage from Ephesians 3:20 that says, you probably can even recite it with me by now. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. What we've been learning is that God actually wants more for us, and he wants to do more in and through us than we could ever even imagine. And that, last week we talked about how God is not a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want to cage us in or take our freedom or take fun away from us. He's created us for the most enjoyable, fun, satisfying, and rich life that we could ever even imagine. That's what we talked about last week, and I believe that God actually wants more for our time. I think that God wants to do more with our time than we could ever plan to do. But here's the thing. He's given us plenty of it. I think that what I have learned from studying the Bible and just from my own life is that we have all the time we need. We have all the time we need. And I know you may be, your wheels are turning right now and you're wondering, what is she talking about? We have all the time we need? I don't have enough time. But you are probably familiar with the story of creation found in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God separated the light from the dark, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And when evening passed and the morning came, God declared that to be one day, and time was set in motion. And then he went on to create the land and the waters and the vegetation and the moon and the stars and all the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals in the land and man. And after 6 days, God looked at everything that he had made and said, "It is good." He was satisfied with his creation. So he must have been satisfied with the amount of time that he set in place. So we have all the time that we need. So the question is, if 6 days is enough for God, if he looked at that one full day and said, "It's good," then why do we struggle to think that 24 hours in a day is not enough for us? We struggle to think that we need more hours in the day. And when I polled my Wellspring volunteers, I had one person who replied that he was tempted to say that he wished he had more time, but in reality, he thought that more time would just make him more stressed. And I thought, well, that's interesting. How can more time make you more stressed? But after I thought about it, I decided that he's right. Because when we have more time, we will use more time. We will use up all the time that we are given. Think about it. If your benefits at work allow you to take 2 weeks worth of vacation, you're most certainly going to take 2 weeks worth of vacation. You're not going to say, "Oh, I'm just not going to take those extra 3 days. I'm going to work instead." Or if you, students, if your teachers at school give you an assignment on Monday and tell you that it's due on Friday, are you going to turn it in on Tuesday or Wednesday? No, you're going to turn it in on Friday. You know, we've already said we're going to use up all of the sleep that we can possibly get. We're going to sleep until the very last moment that we can. We're going to use up those hours that we have to rest. You have bills that have to be paid. You're going to take as long as you possibly can to pay those bills. The more time that you have to do something, the more time that you are going to use. So it's not a matter of more time that you need. It's not a matter of more time that you need. More time will not cure your need for more time. I actually read a study that said over the last 150 years, there's been a remarkable drop in the amount of time spent in the workplace. That over the last 150 years, we have been able to reduce the work hours from about 70 hours a week to 30 or 40 hours a week due to technology. And the same study said that all that extra time that we've created for ourselves, we've just filled it right back up again by sitting in traffic and watching TV and talking on the phone and texting and surfing the web. So it's not that if we get more time, we're going to necessarily use it more productively. More time will not cure our need for more time. Now, I'm not telling you anything probably that you can't read in a self-help book on time management. If you've ever read anything, articles or books or anything on time management, you know that the best way to get more time is to manage your time better. But the simple fact is that we can't increase the measure of time. It is the one commodity that we can't recover. It's the one thing that is a fixed resource, and we can't do anything to get more of it. Now, you probably did not come here today for me to tell you that you can't get any more time, but there is hope for you. There is hope, because as we've said, you are made for more. You are made for more, and God has set you up and created you as a masterpiece. He has given you everything that you need to have a successful life, and I believe that He has given you and prepared you with all the time that you need. And so as we continue to unpack that truth, I want to look at a passage from the book of Psalms. It's from Psalms chapter 90, and it's written by Moses. Moses was one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament. He is the man who God called to lead His people, the Israelites, out of slavery from Egypt. And when God called Moses to lead His people out of slavery, Moses did not feel equipped. He did not think that he was enough. But as you study the life of Moses, if you read about him a little bit, you see that God took what Moses had and made it enough. That's what God does. He takes what doesn't look like enough and He makes it enough, because He's able to do more than we could ever possibly imagine. And so chapter 90 in Psalms is a prayer written by Moses. And it says in verse 12, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom." Now, brevity is not really a word that we use very often, but it simply means shortness of time. Shortness of time, it literally means briefness. So we can actually take that verse and substitute the meaning for its definition and say, "Teach us to realize the shortness of time so that we may grow in wisdom." Now, you don't need me to tell you that time is short. But for me, seeing that verse with its definition in place of the word brevity helps me just a little bit to understand where Moses is coming from. Because as the leader of the Israelites, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. I'm sure that Moses was faced every day with all sorts of problems to solve. And they most certainly left him pressed for time. I mean, if I think about just leading my family, trying to keep them all happy, and like I'm sure Moses had to do with the Israelites, I have to feed them on time. I need to wake them up on time in the morning. I need to get them where they need to be on time and pick them up on time at the end of the day. Keeping them happy means that I have to do the things that I said I was going to do in a reasonable amount of time. I need to remember to take their snack to school in a reasonable amount of time. I'm terrible at that. I am the worst at that. And it also means that I have to remember things like their birthdays and get them birthday presents in a reasonable amount of time, whatever it is. And I'm sure that with Moses leading hundreds of thousands of people, I can only imagine how he was pressed for time. I mean, they probably said things to him like, "Moses, we're out of food and water. When can we get more? Moses, where are you taking us? Where are we going? And when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" I mean, the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. I can only imagine how many times they said to Moses, "Are we there yet?" I mean, we go on an 8-hour vacation with our children, and it's, "Are we there yet?" 50 times. You know, I'm sure that they had all kinds of questions for Moses. Maybe it was, "Our neighbor's tent burned down last night and he's going to need more supplies by the end of the day. Can we make that happen? Or can we get this pasture reserved for our kid's birthday party tomorrow at 2:00, Moses?" I don't know what it was, but I'm sure that Moses was always pressed for time. But the interesting thing is, Moses did not ask for more time. Moses asked for more wisdom. So I think what we can learn from Moses is that wisdom is greater than time. Wisdom is greater than time. There is nothing that we can do to extend the hours of time in our day. We cannot get any more minutes or hours in our time, but we can get more wisdom. We can grow in wisdom. Time is set. It's a fixed resource, like we've already said. So if 24 hours a day 7 days a week, 365 days a year, is the amount of time that we have been given, I think that we could all do our minds and our bodies a favor by living like that is the amount of time that we have and stop behaving like we're going to get more. But that's not typically what we do. We don't always live like that is the amount of time that we have. You know, we have three children, if you don't know our family, and they are 11, 9, and 5. And so Emily, our 5-year-old, she has a terrible sweet tooth. I don't know where she gets it. She has a terrible sweet tooth, and so sometimes at home when we serve dessert, or sometimes even in the morning with her cereal, she'll look at the amount of food that we've given her, and she'll say, "That's not enough." She hasn't even started to eat it yet, and she's already saying that's not enough. And I'll just tell her, you can either have this amount or you can have none. That's exactly what we've been talking about in this series for the last few weeks. It's where we say to God, I want more. And he says, I've given you all that you need. You have enough. And God is able to show us how to have more when we go to him as our source, as our resource. And so I think that that applies to our time. God has given us all the time that we need. We just need to learn how to use it more wisely. We can't get more time, but we can grow in wisdom with how we use the time that we've been given. And so this morning, I want to look at just a couple of ways that we can learn to grow in wisdom as Moses talked about, because time is so short. So the first thing that we can do to help us grow more wisdom in how we use our time is yield our time to God. Yield your time to God. When you see a yield sign, what does it tell you to do? What does it tell you to do? Slow down. Be cautious. Do you know that traffic experts classify a yield sign as the most ignored traffic sign? Because what happens is determined aggressive drivers, I'm sure none of you here are determined aggressive drivers, determined drivers enter the interstate from the on-ramp, not paying attention to the cars speeding by and how fast they're going, and they just enter their lane and don't give those speeding cars time to merge over without causing a collision. And so what you're supposed to do when you see a yield sign is to look for adequate space in your lane and only merge into your lane when you can do so without overcrowding the other cars and causing them to have to change lanes too quickly and causes an accident. So think for a minute, does your life look more like cars that are cautiously merging into their lane? Or does it look more like a speeding interstate with cars, just determined drivers, just aggressively merging into their lane and knocking other cars out of the way? Because what we have a tendency to do is to recklessly drive from one thing to the next in our life because we have got somewhere to go and people to see and things that we don't want to miss out on. And rather than looking at how much space we have in our lane, we're just trying to get where we want to go. We are just trying to get where we want to go, and we're ignoring the yield signs. So if you feel like you don't have enough time, it might be because you have overcrowded your lane and you've not given yourself adequate space before you've merged new activities into your life. And you're overcrowding all those activities that you want to do. We tend to make life about the next big thing and the last thing. You know, maybe for you it's, oh, we just got back from a 5-day vacation and now we've got to unpack our things because we've got to set up our house and get ready for a big 4th of July party that we're having. And the next day we have 3 doctor's appointments, an all-star practice, and then we have a game on Friday. And then on Sunday we're leaving to go on vacation again. And as soon as we get back, we're throwing a baby shower at our house and we've got a Bible study and we've got this and this and this, whatever it is. That's kind of how we tend to live our life. Just from one big thing to the next big thing. And when we really want to give ourselves more time, we should yield our time to God. Stop and ask, Is this wise? Is this wise? When you start yielding your time to God, you can stop and ask God, is this wise? Before you speed off to the next out-of-town party or social gathering or signing up for the next commitment in your life, ask, is this wise? Do I have adequate space in my lane for this? Is there adequate space for me to merge into my lane? I will never forget when I really realized the value of yielding my time to God in my own life. As I said, we have three kids, and so at the time, our children were probably between the ages of maybe 7 and 2, and I woke up one morning with this long list of things to do. Everything from laundry and grocery shopping to a doctor's appointment that we had and getting ready to go out of town on a trip. And before I'd ever done anything, I was already tired and I felt like I was out of time. You know that feeling when you wake up and you feel like before you've ever even gotten through an hour of the day, you're already out of time. And so my solution was, well, I'll just have a cup of coffee and sit down because I'm not going to get it all done anyways. And I sat down with a cup of coffee and I started reading my Bible. And before I knew it, an hour had gone by, a whole hour. And I don't know what my children were doing or where they were. They were alive and it was fine. So I thought, an hour, I have lost an hour in the day. So we got everybody dressed and threw them in the car and we started along the things that we had to finish for the day. And the craziest thing happened. Before noon, I had finished almost everything that I had to do. Not everything, almost everything. And that is when I realized that when I give God my time, He redeems my time. He takes what looks like less time and makes it more time. It might sound crazy to you, but it is a supernatural thing that happens. When we give God part of our day, some of the hours and minutes that He's given to us, and we give them back to Him, He gives us more time. Whether it's He opens up something in my schedule that allows me time to do something else, maybe He just allows my kids to cooperate so that I can get more accomplished, or sometimes I feel like God just allows me to think more clearly and to focus so that I am more productive and efficient in my work. Whatever it is, when I give God time, He gives me more time. It is a supernatural thing. When you yield your time to God, you can ask God, is this wise? And when I'm doing that, that might mean that I don't get to do everything that I had on my list. It might mean that I don't get to do all the things that I want to do. And sometimes it means that I don't do the things that I think I should do and that I miss out on things that I wanted to do or thought I should be doing. But I've learned to be okay with that because I know that I'm operating from a place of wisdom and not anxiety or even guilt. When I yield my time to God, He allows me to move with more purpose, which leads me to our next point, that when you yield your time to God, you will learn to move with purpose. Move with purpose. Let me explain what I mean by that. We have our middle child, Sam. He is very slow. He does nothing in life fast. Nothing. He just does not move fast at all. And so I've found myself saying to him all the time, hurry up, hurry up, come on, let's go, hurry up, hurry up. And he's a 9-year-old boy and he needs a lot of positive reinforcement. I get that. And so recently I decided to change my language with him. Instead of saying hurry up, I've started saying to him, move with purpose. In other words, move like you have got somewhere to be and something specific to do, because I have given you a very specific task to do, and I don't need you to be distracted by everything else that you see along the way. Just move with purpose. When we are yielding our time to God, we can move with purpose and be wiser with the hours and the time that we have. Move with purpose. Sometimes you are doing a lot of good things in your life, but are they good things that God has for you to be doing? You know, there are things, so many different things that you can be distracted by, or so many different things that you can get pulled into doing, activities and events and commitments that are good things. There's nothing wrong with them. But are they the things that you need to be doing, the things that God has purposed for you? You know, maybe all of your girlfriends have decided that they are going to go to yoga class at 6 p.m. on Tuesday nights. You need to be exercising and taking care of your mind and your body. That's a good thing. But maybe 6 p.m. on Tuesday nights is not what's best for you. You know, students, maybe your coaches have invited you to be a part of a travel team with your sports, and you really want to do it, and your coach really wants you to do it, and it's a good opportunity. But is it what's good for you? Is it wise for you? Those are the things that when you yield your time to God, He can help you determine what those things are, because there are a lot of good things that we can be doing. We have also been looking, we read Ephesians 3:20, but we've also been looking in this series at Ephesians 2:10 a lot. And I love this verse from Paul. He writes in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." We've been talking about how God has planned good things for each one of us to be doing. But He's planned things for you to be doing, things that God planned for you. So are you doing the things that God has planned for you to be doing? Or are you just doing good things? Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a wise thing. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's wise. When you yield your time to God, He helps you determine what the good things are that He has for you to be doing. Are the good things you're doing moving you towards your purpose? Because you may be wasting time on things that are good, but they're not the good things God planned for you to be doing. And the only way that we can know that is when we yield our time to God. Knowing the things that are for you can be very confusing. When you don't yield your time to God, it can be so easily, you can get easily confused trying to figure out what those good things are for you. Just because something is good doesn't mean it's wise. Just because something is good doesn't mean it has a point to your purpose. Are you doing anything that's pointless to your purpose that God has designed and planned for you long ago? I want to give you a quick couple things before we leave today, because at Wellspring every week, we try to tackle the how. We want to give you the how. We don't want you to just come in here and hear a great message but not know how to apply it to your life. So I want to give you a couple of quick ways this morning that you can begin to grow in wisdom, as Moses said. Something that you can do to yield your time to God and move with purpose. The first one is create space to think. Living your life and knowing that wisdom is greater than time requires headspace to think. Maybe you need to write on your calendar, pick a time that works for you. Maybe it's 7:30 a.m. on Monday mornings or 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. Sit down with your calendar, look at the things that you have to do this week, and yield that time to God. Yield your calendar to God's calendar and let Him show you what activities and what good things are part of your purpose. And the next thing is to simply ask, is it wise? As we've already said, is this wise? Is this something that you have for me to do today, God? When you yield your time to God, He will help show you those things. He's the only one that can point you to those things. Before you make a new commitment, before you say yes right away, use the on-ramp like we talked about. Look for adequate space in your lane before you overcrowd the other really important things in your life. Ask, is this wise? And yield that to God for His direction in your life. So what I want you to do today is just remember that wisdom is greater than time. You cannot do anything to get more minutes and hours in your day, but you can grow in wisdom, as we talked about. You can grow wiser in the way that you use the time that you have. God has already given you all the time that you need. You just need to yield it to Him. Ask Him to help you use it and to get the most out of the time that He's given you so that you can move with purpose towards the good things that God has planned for you. There is so much more that I could say about moving with purpose. But as Abby said earlier, Pastor Trey is going to be back next week, and he has a great message prepared for you about moving with purpose, getting more purpose in your life. And so we hope that you'll be back to join us for today. I just want to close this and encourage you this week to think about how wisdom is greater than time and ask, is this wise? Begin yielding your time to God and letting him lead you towards a more purposeful life. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the hours that you've given us today. And thank you for the hours that you've prepared for us in the coming days. And I ask that you would just give us wisdom. We know that we can't get any more time, God, but we can grow in wisdom in how we use the time that you've given us. God, I ask that as we yield our time to you, that you would faithfully give us all the wisdom that we need to know how to move with more purpose in our life, to accomplish the things that you have planned for us, so that we might honor you with our time and with the tasks that you've set in motion for us to do. Help us to stay in our lane, to do the things that you have planned, and to not overcrowd the space that we have so that we're not doing anything well. We want to do all things good for you. Give us wisdom in how to do it. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.